Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. It's a Monday. This is Chuck Bonnell and Julie Hayden and True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by HappyTrees.co and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McKellen. I want to let you know, Leo, I already have a laugh out loud video picked for Party Friday. I was going through Twitter. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You all have to wait till Party Friday. We got to tune in to see this video. That was, I love the ducks chasing being Trump. Hey, so today coming up at 3:30, we're going to have former representative and senator Kevin Lundberg on. He went to the Mike Lindell Truth Summit over the weekend, the one that the judge said Tina Peters couldn't go to, and had some pretty interesting, you talked to him, had some pretty interesting things to say about
a lot of great things.
So he'll fill us in at 3:30. In the meantime, let's see, we've got Fauci retiring, we've got Civil War porn, a lot to talk about today. You'll be on one hand, now this should not shock anybody, the judge said, okay, he's inclined, he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna keep the Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit sealed, but he will let the government redact it, and he's cautioning us that it's probably going to be meaningless by the time. And you guys, I'm not kidding you. I remember one time covering a story. I forget what the story was, but the Denver police had to release an affidavit, and it was like a 3-page affidavit. And what they would do then is they would just black it out, right? It would just be black. And so they had the title, it said affidavit, and then everything else was blacked out. And then the next page it said page 2, and then everything else was blacked out. I mean, literally everything was blacked out. That would be my guess here. And they'll say, we released it, guys.
And although some pronouns, conjunctives, some other things.
Yeah, but they'll see and in there. Yeah.
And when the judge says it may be meaningless, then what's the point of releasing it?
And that means that he knows it's going to be meaningless. He's already telling us it's going to be meaningless.
So, there you go. That, you know. So he says that it's intense public interest and so forth, so it has to be released, but we'll make it meaningless.
We won't release any of the information. We'll talk more a little bit about that. Wanted to start off with Liz Cheney.
Our favorite
Liz Cheney. I know people may say, oh, you know, let's quit talking about Liz Cheney.
You're never going to be able to stop talking about Liz Cheney. Never, ever.
Now, she's, I don't know if she's just gone bonkers, if she was just always this awful of a person.
No, I'm sure she
was. Now she's not even trying to hide it. I mean, and we got some sound with her explaining what she is going to be doing, but you're just, and guys, if you want to weigh in, go ahead in the chat comment on Zoom. You can call in 888-627-6008. So love to get your opinions too on, you know, what do you think is going on with her?
She's trying to figure out how to be a famous woman and the talk of the town and whatever else. I mean, you know, the Cheneys, you know, only talk to God. The sense of hubris. I said we were at a fundraiser for Boebert, and I spent about 10 minutes with Liz Cheney, 10, 15 minutes, and she was very comfortable in her own skin, I can tell you that. And so that's, you know, if her and her father think that, that's what God thinks.
You know, I saw a poll that said something like 73% of Democrats approve of Liz Cheney. Yeah. And so she runs for something, right? They're not going to vote
for
her.
She's
not going to run for anything. She's got her pack. She's apparently, we talked about it last week, the great task, because she's like Abraham Lincoln now and she's saving the country. But I want to play a soundbite. She was on ABC because, of course, she was making all the rounds. You got to wonder if they'll get sicker. But anytime they need, because here's, before we play the sound, I want to say this. I think it's kind of interesting. It's one thing if you're a current Republican congressperson who hates Trump and is attacking Trump. But once she's out of office in January, she's just one of a million former people.
No,
you don't think it matters?
No.
All right. Let me read. This is from Jacob. After what Papa Cheney did to America, why would anyone trust daughter Cheney? Very good point there.
Jacob also said Peter Ball's opinion that there was not a raid at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him Monday, him saying that. I said, when did you become apologist for the FBI?
I know. Something's happened to Peter Boyles. We're going to send him. We're going to have an intervention or something and send him back to a grassroots populist training camp or something. Yeah. Don't tell him we said that. But at any rate, I want to play the Liz Cheney soundbite because on ABC, they asked her, well, what are you going to be doing doing next. And she answered them, and she did not mince any words. So if we could please play the Liz Cheney soundbite.
I'm going to be very focused on working to ensure that we do everything we can not to elect election deniers. I think that we've got election deniers that have been nominated for really election important deniers. Positions all across the country. And Casey I'm going Abrams. To work against those people. I'm going to work to support their opponents. I think it matters that much.
Will you be getting involved in campaigns against those Republican candidates that are challenging or denying the results of the election?
Yes.
Including your Republican colleagues here in Congress?
Yes.
Go. That should make her popular. I bet she gets invited to all the Republican parties. Talk about burning bridges.
The other part of that interview was so great. She said that the large portion of the Republican Party, its leadership, the leadership in Wyoming, are sick. Really
sick.
She talked
about Mitch McConnell. I mean, she didn't.
She didn't say who she left out. But I mean, Liz Cheney has gone full progressive Democrat.
Well, that's what I got to wonder. I mean, personally, I think you look at that and you're like, okay, you're just going off the deep end, Liz. I mean, the January 6th, and I imagine it's going to be interesting. Well, she'll be the only interesting thing about the January 6th commission, just because she's like, I mean, it's like just when you think she can't go any lower, she does. And you know what? So she campaigns against Republicans running for office, right? So what? Do you think anyone cares what Liz Cheney has to say?
Well, it might be. If you're a candidate running against somebody, you might want to bring Liz Cheney in to attack him. Why not?
Well, why not? Well, you'd get some publicity.
Yeah, run some ads with Liz Cheney. No, she'll be in big demand.
The only people who are going to listen to Liz Cheney are Democrats. And okay, Dr. Don, you're going to segue into our next section here in a second. But from Jacob, does that include Al Gore, who was an election denier in 2000, or Hillary Clinton, an election denier? Liz Cheney has replaced creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti with Lib Press. That's true. Amazing how many outside of Wyoming support her. Right, no one in Wyoming supports her. But you want to move on to the Kevin Priola story?
Sure.
Dr. Donna says, is she related to Kevin Priola? So, as you know, Kevin Priola, he's in Adams County, right?
Yes.
Adams County, theoretically Republican state representative,
state senator,
who always votes Democrat. I mean, he's
not always, but he certainly signs on to things like it co-sponsored the heroin injection sites.
Extremely progressive, not just, you know, kind of supporting big business stuff. No, he is extremely progressive. Well, today he officially announced, because he's sick of the election deniers and he's sick of, I forget what else he was sick of.
Monday he said he was horrified by the January 6th insurrection on the U.S. Capitol and waited in vain for his party to repudiate it, as well as former President Donald Trump, who continues to insist it was stolen. It never came, Priola said. To my dismay, brave and honorable Republicans like Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, and Adam Kissinger have fought to defend the Constitution, the rule of law, only to be met with ridicule and threats. I cannot continue to be part of a political party that is okay with a violent attempt to overthrow free and fair elections.
So Kevin Priola has now become a Democrat. And we're going to want to talk about that. Although a couple of comments, Boyles and Liz have always been Democrats at heart. I think that's somewhat true. As Dr. Donna says, most of the time he does vote along with the Democrats. Yeah, I think so too, Dr. Donna. A little late to act on January 6th. I guess I think, Chuck, you have your three, which I think is correct. But I think so. Kevin Priola has always been a traitor Republican. So him switching over to a Democrat, I mean, it may be, you know, if you're looking at the statistics, it changes things, but it doesn't change anything in terms of what gets passed. But you have your theory on why you think
I'll give you my theory, and I'll give you Representative Dave Williams' theory.
Oh, did you talk to Dave?
My theory is that it would have win three seats and therefore overturn the Senate, turn it back to the Republican side where
which is in Colorado,
and they could make all kind of business deals for Phil Anschutz and stuff, but they're scared, so they got Priola to jump over now. If three was a difficult climb, four is virtually impossible. Now Dave Williams thinks that Kevin Priola saw that the Republicans couldn't possibly take back the Senate, and therefore he wanted to switch over now. So you get your choice. Either things are looking up for Republicans, or they're looking down.
And Chuck, you are the optimist there.
Yeah,
Chuck was the optimist. So either way, I don't think anyone thinks it has anything to do with his actual principles, mm-mm, right, or what he believes, or election denier. I mean, election denier is it's going the way of racist. It's going the way of Me Too. It's going the way of, you know, any of the ridiculous things. And the new one, we'll talk about this later, is Civil War porn. But I mean, it's just meaningless. They throw that out. And you even heard the ABC reporter was like, people who challenge, and then you thought, oh wait, I mean deny.
That's right.
If I say people who challenge the election, which would be technically correct, I'm just going to say deny. But what happened though, and this is kind of interesting, and this is getting a lot of, so Christy Burton Brown, who's the chairperson, we've talked about her a lot, of the Colorado Republican Party, put out a press release saying basically she's reacting to Senator Kevin Priola's shameful decision to switch from the Republican Party to the Democrat. He will regret this decision when Republicans retake the Senate in January. Then she says, Kevin Priola finally made the move to the party he's consistently voted with. After lying to his constituents and routinely voting for tax increases that hurt the everyday working family of his district, he's now admitted his true affiliation, a pro-tax increase Democrat. It's clear he's selfishly chosen to make himself the story at the expense of the Coloradans he was elected to fight for. Now, that's great. I'm glad she did that. But you know what I would say is, where has she been for 2 years? I mean, she's
2 years, well, 6 years.
Well, I mean, she's only been the chairperson, right? I mean, Kevin Priola has been a rhino rat for years from the very beginning. And it's like Christy Burton Brown just now noticed somehow. So, I mean, that's the only thing I would hope that Christy Burton Brown might be, I don't know what her role would be in this exactly, but I mean, the time to speak out against Kevin Priola and the time to kind of help unify the party, which people like Dave Williams have tried to do, is before, right? Not to take a swat at him afterwards. I mean, we never, as far as I know, heard a peep from her about Kevin Priola, did we? So, it's great, Christy, but, you know, it's meaningless, really. And like, Kevin Priola doesn't care. It doesn't help the Republicans. And you've got a nice press release, but nothing really ever changes.
Yeah, well, Leo says, wow, KBB finally has something other than send me the money. No, not really, because the thing is, they were raising a fair amount of money, all going to taking back the state Senate. Now that likelihood seems far less, so she'll really be pushing to get money because it's drying up.
And this is my recommendation to anyone, and this is what we do. Give to the individual candidate or cause. I think if you give it to the Republican Party of Colorado, I would wager even the Republican, the RNC, you know, the National Republican. I mean, the RNC, they got all the money they need from rich donors, right? They don't need you and me. I think it's best if my personal thing is give the money to the candidate. And now Kevin Priola is not up for election.
No, he's term limited. He cannot run for another term. So his final 2 years, he gets to be in the majority as a Democrat, whatever that does for you. You know, I guess that's so exciting. And maybe get a job somewhere. I don't know. Maybe the Democratic donors will give him a job once he finishes his fine tenure.
But I think, let's say, oh, Dr. Donna, as long as it seemed he was useful, he was kept as a party hack. Give to the candidate. Oh, you talk faster than I can type. Sorry, Donna. I had my like sparkling water, caffeinated water here. But anyway, that's just an interesting development. And Chuck, I think you're right. I think whether you're right or Dave Williams is right, I think what's really right about that is, again, it had nothing to do with Kevin Priola.
Bout of consciousness.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't stand
it. Because of election deniers, right?
Because Liz Cheney lost badly. I mean, he just couldn't take it.
I have a feeling that it might be getting more unpleasant for the overtly progressive rhino, you know, like Liz Cheney and people like that, that, you know, as the midterms come and Dr., you know, Donald Trump remains increasingly popular. His poll numbers are up after the raid. And I think it's harder, you know, again, I like Peter Boyle's, but did not call that a raid. I don't know what else he was. It's called a raid.
When the
FBI show up at your house, kick you outside and go in and go through all your stuff.
For nine
that's a
hours.
Raid. Yeah, that's a raid. I mean, it's not, I don't know what you would call a visit. I mean, they came for tea.
A friendly tete-a-tete.
Right. I mean, you know, a welfare check. I don't think
so. But Peter is shilling for the FBI. Wow.
Well, and again, that's the trouble. All of these people, and that's why I'm thinking why he changed in part two. All of these people have tried to straddle a line, right? There is the line. You can't straddle anymore. It's like the things that the progressives and the FBI and the deep state and the elite are doing. What? The New York Times had an editorial saying we should get rid of the Constitution. Oh, there you go.
That's just a pesky
document. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, well, you know, I agree with some of that, but not all. Mm-hmm. I mean, to a certain extent, the battle lines are drawn. But let me briefly go into, and I'm kind of all over the place, but it all ties together. The new thing you hear the Democrats do, and I believe that literally memos go out. Lawfare, which is that Democrat deep state operation, right? Secret, it's not secret, but it's kind of secret funded operation, puts out press releases basically to liberal reporters or reporters who are, which is everybody practically, but they put out press releases and daily press releases on the day's events. And in that, I mean, it's no accident that all of a sudden people, you hear them saying the same word, like election denier. Well, somebody somewhere came up with that and they all started pushing it. And again, you heard that ABC reporter correct himself live on the air saying people who challenge, I mean, who deny the election, right? And there are other terms.
Well, here's AP's thing on this Kevin Prillo thing.
Oh, okay.
Numerous assertions that presidential election was stolen have been proven false.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? It's like, what does that mean? I mean, they just say stuff like that and they ignore the people who have been charged. They ignore Wisconsin Supreme Court rulings. They ignore everything that raises questions about the election. And that's like, it's proven false. It's just proven false. It's, you can't even raise a question. So, you know, that's their thing. But their new thing is civil war. We played last week the MSNBC person saying, we're at war. We're not heading to war. We're at war. It's a civil war. The civil war porn all ties into this scary concept I've been talking about. And that is, if we're at war, there's an emergency, right? That's why they want to continue to have emergency over COVID, emergency over whatever.
Maybe Dr. Fauci will rescind his resignation and come back.
And come back to be in charge of the Civil War. He'll be a general in the Civil War.
Yeah.
The Civil War, they're using terms like that. And, you know, it's them they're the ones who are saying it. And they're not even saying we should war. Sometimes you hear Republicans say, you know, it feels like we're in a civil war. Maybe we should secede. But it's the Democrats who are now saying, and their puppets are now saying, we are in a civil war. And again, if we're in a civil war, then that justifies them spying on us. It justifies them censoring us. It justifies them calling us extremists in the Civil War. And you can do all kinds of things in a war, right? That maybe normally people would say, hey, but you can't take away my rights like that. But if we're at war, then you could do that, right?
That's right. You can do anything if it's at war.
But do you think, I mean, what's your opinion? I don't think it's an accident that all of a sudden, all of them are talking about civil war.
I think, they've been building up, you know, the insurrectionists and armed people going into the Capitol and every other lie they possibly have. I remember reading an article, it's not the time for the Tim Scotts and the McConnells and the other, you know, we give up Republicans to be leading. It's time for the fighters to be leading. And I think that's really true.
That's true. Okay, this from Jacob. Hang on a second. Jacob says, Julie's always looking for reasons to be optimistic for something good. Last week, the Wall Street Journal wrote about the 62,000 jobs that have come back to our shores and maybe globalism is dead. Yeah, DeSantis charged 20 people with voter fraud. Nope, that's not true. It's that you're denying it, Jacob. You're a denier. Anyone else listen to the election event in Missouri this weekend? Dr. Donna, hang on. We've got Kevin Priola coming up in about 10 minutes with that. From Stephen, Bolshevik Democrats declared war on the Constitution, Republicans, Christians, and conservatives a long time ago. Establishment Republicans haven't woken up to that fact yet, and thus we're losing the country. You know, I agree with you in part, Stephen, and disagree. I think that the establishment Republicans are happy with the war. I think they totally know it and they don't care because they just want to be on the power side.
Right.
And they're equally at war. It's just a little bit lower key. From Karen, KBB's comments prove how disingenuous she was. She kept her mouth shut about Priola because he had an R after his name. So how authentic is she ever?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Oh, and then Dr. Donner says, oh, wait, as a candidate, we're not supposed to be speaking about that stuff as per state chair and local chair. Well, yeah. And again, with Chrissy Burton Brown, you know, that's, I'm glad you put that statement out because it'll get reported everywhere when they, you know, the progressive press, you know, delights in the fact that Kevin Priola is changing sizes and they'll put this on. But, you know, where was Chrissy Burton Brown for the past, you know, since she's been chairperson?
Well, she said as long as she had an R, he had an R by his name, then
she was happy to do it. Another thing that's good today. Oh, I do want to talk then a little bit more about, speaking of the Civil War, because pay attention to that. You're just going to start seeing it more and more. The extremist talk, more armed IRS agents to go after us. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on there. And they're going to use it to weaponize, again, the Department of Justice, the IRS, all of these people against us because we are at war.
I'm still always amazed at numbers, 87,000 people. Well, I'm looking for the, now you made me forget what I was looking for.
Well, all right. Pay attention.
Oh, I wanted to look at the story on the judge saying, that'll be so blacked out.
It was on the Hill. So the judge today, last week, there was a court hearing where the judge indicated that he was inclined to go ahead and release the affidavit in the
because
in
of
the
incredible, you know,
public interest in it. Yeah. Exactly. And this was an unprecedented, or he didn't say unprecedented, but this was an unusual step. So we thought we should do it. And so then today they had a hearing. I think the Department of Justice said, no, we don't want to do, you know, no, we don't want to release anything. And I think the judge said, no, you're going to have to release something, but show me what you want to release, what you want to have redacted. The judge said, we can have some of it redacted. And then the judge apparently now is warning people that there might be so much redacted that the search warrant is meaningless. And what that means is, because I've read many a redacted search warrants. I was talking at the beginning of the show. I read once more than one search warrant where the entire thing was redacted except for search warrant. And then page one, page two, that's all you saw. And they can redact enough so that you just can't tell what's going on, right? I mean, like you said, they might leave words in that say this, and they'll say, and then, and it blacks out, blah, 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 and it says, so, and then it blacks out this, and then it says at the end. I mean, that, in my guess, is that's what's going to happen. I should have said that Friday.
I cannot say at this point that the partial redactions will not be so extensive that they'll result in meaningless disclosure, but ultimately reach that conclusion after hearing further things from the government. Oh, okay. So we have an enormous interest in it, and the fact that it's meaningless doesn't matter.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's where this is why we know they're not being transparent and they're screwing us, basically, because the reason you redact the search warrant is that there's an ongoing investigation, right? And so you don't want to give away, say, who a confidential informant is. Or sometimes you'll see search warrants redacted. Actually, routinely, you see them redacted in the case of a sex assault victim or in the case of maybe child abuse cases, right? They redact the children's names. And it can be confusing enough to figure that out, what's going on when it's redacted with any kind of certainty. But there would be no reason, either the investigation is ongoing and for some reason this would jeopardize it, but how can it be ongoing since they took all the boxes, right? There's nothing more to investigate.
Well, no.
Well, but I mean, it's not like Donald Trump doesn't know what, you know, but either. So then what you do is then you leave the whole thing redacted. You just say, we're going to leave it sealed. You don't turn around and say, well, we're going to just redact parts of it. Either you release it all or you keep it sealed.
You could leave out, you know, confidential informants and some other things. But to say
it's going to be meaningless.
But to say it's going to be potentially meaningless, you know, exactly. You're just playing a game to the public. You want to look like you're not the evil judge. Obama supporting judge that had to recuse himself. You want to show you're fair, but you want to give them whatever they
and here's another want. Thing too. This judge, this whole thing is crooked, guys. So the judge also over the weekend, which judges never do, responded and said, well, he believes that the information in the search warrant was reliable. Then that's why he signed it, right? Well, what the heck is a judge going to say? Oh, no, it was the FBI, so I figured they were lying, but I signed it anyway. I mean, of course he's going to say it's reliable. Number one, he has no business talking about it. The fact that he's doing all this talking, they're trying to put their thumb on it. I suspect sooner or later it will get leaked. It could be, might happen one time when I was a reporter, one of the district attorney's offices, I forget which one, they redacted it, right? Uh-huh. Only if you switched the black and white, I forget how we did it. Anyway, on your computer, you could read it. Oh, they didn't really redact it. They just sort of like digitally redacted or electronically redacted it so you could read it. So
here's one on Fox. Checks and balances on search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago home and resort display limited government at its best.
From Jacob, the whole raid was for Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump is suing Hillary Clinton and she could not wait for discovery. Therefore, FBI got the original documents to see what Donald Trump has. And Jacob, they got all the documents about them as well. And then Dr. Donna ends up looking like the roping horse after OSHA gets done with it. Exactly. It's just going to be butchered. You aren't going to be able to tell anything. They're going to say, and all the media would say, see, we released it, and it's not going to say anything.
This article shows the great checks and balances. They release things and make it meaningless.
And in the meantime, they're going to dribble out of it, and the liberal media, the puppets, like I say, the strings will be pulled and they'll report it. But what's great is Donald Trump is just not giving in. He's like, he's going to keep pushing for it. He's going to keep talking about it. And I think that's good, right?
I absolutely think it's good. There's no question about it.
One other thing I think that's good, and then if we want to go ahead, guys, at BBS and give Kevin Lundberg a call, we could do that too. The other thing that's kind of interesting, and I'll get your thoughts on this, is Dr. Fauci announced earlier, remember he said he would leave at the end of Biden's term, which is in a while. Now he says he's going to leave in December to pursue his next adventure. Guy's 81. Do you think, and now Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, we'll see. Rand Paul, I trust. Ted Cruz, I don't necessarily say. That's not going to stop us from looking into everything, right?
Yeah, but he won't have, he'll have a better chance of just sliding off the table.
Okay.
Hey, we got Kevin Lundberg, former state senator and good friend, who was down in Missouri for the huge shindig for Mike Lindell. The Truth Summit. Kevin, you there?
What? Are you there, Kevin? He's driving back from there, so he might be through the hills. Oh, there you are. Hey, Kevin. Kevin Lundberg, welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Thank you for your time. I'm not sure. For some reason, he can't hear us.
He is on.
he's on. He's on. I can hear him every so often. Hey, Kevin. Chuck and Julie, can you hear us, sir? Okay, we'll give him until 3:30. We'll give him to 3:30. So we'll read a couple of comments in here. Leo says, Dr. Fauci will die of COVID before he retires. Yeah, that could be. and Jacob, you're right, Jacob. Here's the lies that they told us. One night last week, Nora O'Donnell with CBS reported that Trump passports were never taken. The FBI admitted they took the passports and returned. She never retracted his story. Yeah, that's absolutely true. She didn't retract it. And they were trying to play a little bit of word games, by saying, well, the FBI said they didn't have it.
Possess it.
Right. But I don't think the FBI was playing word games. I think that she just was wrong.
No. They're playing word games.
Well, I don't.
They said to her they did not possess it. And that was, then she came on back on and said, but they're returning any things that are not appropriate. So that was her retraction, which is
like,
really
how do you accidentally see somebody's passport? It says passport on it, right? Clearly passport's a personal
item.
It's
just a bunch of dumb FBI agents. They don't know you have to need a special warrant to see somebody's passport. No, they don't. I promise you the lughead it took them didn't know that you needed a special warrant.
I would disagree with that. I think that the FBI is conducting the search. They just took everything and they didn't care. And they didn't
agree with that,
Donald
but they
Trump.
Didn't know that that was going to get them in trouble or they wouldn't have done it.
Or they wouldn't have done it. All right. Hey, Kevin Lundberg, we can kind of hear you. Are you there yet?
This always happens to poor Kevin.
We have phone things. We can't call him back because, hey, Kevin Lundberg. Oh, well. We'll keep trying. I know he's there.
He's somewhere.
We can hear him. And Don or Doug, guys at BBS, if he drops off, go ahead and try calling him back. Because I'm not sure if it's our line, his line, or what.
But apparently, just to go into the, we'll get him on, that he went down to Missouri for the big confab there. And he said the most amazing thing was a movie with Tina Peters called Select Data, I think, Select Data. And I saw the trailer for it, and it was Laura Logan and Tina Peters and stuff. And it looks absolutely great. It looks absolutely
great.
And
I do know you can link to it. If you guys haven't subscribed to the Kevin Lundberg newsletter, I recommend you do. It's great. What he does is he just sends out a really brief thing, and you can follow the links to other places. And he has a link to that on there. I don't mean to keep doing this, but I can hear him. So maybe, I don't know if he's just maybe not listening till 3:30. Hey, Kevin Lundberg, can you hear us yet? Are you with
us? I'm here.
Yay! 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 Oh, my word, there. So we've given you a lengthy introduction. You're driving back from the Truth Summit. Right. Why don't you fill us in a little bit on some of the high notes or what you think people should know about?
Okay, let me give you a couple of titles first. It's Selection Code, movie that you're speaking of, and it's The Moment of Truth The Moment of Truth Summit is what it was called. And it was just a big gathering of everybody, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people who've been digging deep into what's happening with our election systems. And very comprehensive. I mean, 2 days, we went for literally 12 hours on both days. Wow. With, report after report after report. And they live streamed all of it, recorded all of it. It's up on frankspeech.com, or, maybe they don't have everything up, but that's the plan if it's not all there by now. I know they had a lot up this morning. And, let me start this way, and that is that anybody who doesn't believe that there were some real weird games played in the 2020 election isn't paying attention. Those of us like myself who know something happened are called election deniers. Well, they've got the wrong group, because anybody who says there's no problem, they're the deniers. They're denying the obvious reality. And we're not trying to destroy the election system. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to dig down deep and say, look, there are specific problems. The election process starts with registration lists that need to be accurate and up to date, and then the distribution of ballots needs to be proper. I'll tell you the way we ought to distribute ballots, and that is in your local precinct on election day when you show up in person and you say, I'd like to vote. That's when you should be given a ballot to mark. But, of course, we've got this sloppy system where ballots are mailed out to every name and address they've got in their book, and then they have automatic voter registration. And I'm talking about Colorado's system. A lot of states are very similar. We've got the open primary that really corrupts the choice that parties make for their own candidates. And you look up in Alaska where they've got a jungle primary, which is even more bizarre.
Right.
But then you've got the heart of the process and probably the heart of the problem, which is the way the ballots are tabulated, where the votes are counted, and then how they're tabulated, and it's in this mysterious black box called the software. In Colorado, it's mostly run by a company called Dominion, but there are other companies that it. One thing I learned was that all of them work with the same system, essentially. They've got variations on stuff, but the heart and the soul of it was developed about 20 years ago, And there's more than I can tell you, more than I saw and heard than I can tell, because I can't even remember it all yet. I got to go back and review it myself. And I recommend anybody who wants to know more about it. I think this was the most comprehensive factual presentation on what's out there across the country that has occurred to date. And I've been following this pretty carefully. Conducted a pretty good hearing back in April of 21 myself with the Republican Study Committee, and we had some presenters there, most of whom who were at the meeting there out in Springfield, Missouri today, or this weekend, I should say. I'm calling you, by the way, from Hayes, Kansas.
Hayes, Kansas. Wow.
I'm about halfway home now. Yeah. But
I was going to say, let me ask you, just a couple points in that, you talk about the machines and the software that's used. And I always find it suspicious when anytime somebody mentions it, the people behind the software sue people. And, you know, the Democrats jump up and down and you say, you can't say that. And they sue people to keep them from talking. And you would think, and you say, no, we can't have an audit. We're not going to do an audit. You would think that the correct response, I mean, to me, it would be like, here, come on in. Everybody come on in. We'll show you. Absolutely. Anybody who wants to, we'll live stream it. We'll show you. And if there are any problems, by gosh, we'll fix them.
Yeah, and actually, let me give you the best example of where they're just not letting you look under the hood, and that's when after the primary here in Colorado, big questions about a lot of races, but Tina Peters, in miraculous fashion, was able to raise enough money to pay the Secretary of State over $250 million to conduct a statewide recount, and Tina said, we're putting this money forward so that you'll do a hand recount.
Right, and which is what the law requires, am I right? Isn't the law say you have to do that?
Well, here's what the law requires, and you're right. The Secretary of State totally ignored the law. But the law requires, and it's very simple, it's one statute that deals with the recount process. I mean, it's mentioned in a few other areas, but the most important one is 1-10.5-102, and that's about a page of law that says this is how a recount is to be conducted. And the first step is that the canvas board, and that's an important point because the way they conduct it is, well, the county clerk with the canvas board in being present, but the canvas board is vested with the responsibility. And the canvas board is the county clerk, and this is in each county, the county clerk and a representative from both major parties. So you've got three people. That's the canvas board. They are charged with the responsibility of conducting the recount. Now, they can use the county clerk's facilities and people, but they're the ones in charge. The first thing they are to do is to randomly select some of the machines that were used to count the votes.
Okay.
And they are to take the votes, the actual ballots that were counted by that machine, and and do a hand count. And that's where the hand count is required to at least test the system. Hand count.
And that means to actually physically look at it and say, this is the ballot. This is what I physically see the ballot saying. This is what the machine said it said, right? And make sure they match that.
Well, what the law says is manually count. But yes, and then it goes on with a little more specificity later in that section of law, saying that the presumption is that the actual paper ballots will be the final determining factor. That means you look at the paper ballots. So, yeah, it's without question, we're talking a real bona fide hand count. But you compare how did the machine count it versus how did the hand count come out. And once you determine that you really counted it properly, if there's a dip, if there's any difference, then you've got to hand count everything. That's how
that makes sense.
And this has to be done in every county.
But they didn't do that, did they? Isn't that why Tina's? Yeah, and that's why she's suing, right? Because they didn't do that at all.
Exactly. So Tina, because they didn't do that, and they took $250,000, Tina is suing them and saying, no, you've got to do it right. And she's suing the Secretary of State and every county clerk that participated. And I say that because one county, a really small one, Rio Blanco, actually did hand count because they're so small. That's just the way they do it. But everybody else, the other, needed to do that. Instead, they went through what's called a risk limiting audit, where you take test ballots that were generated just for the purpose of determining can the tabulator read the ballot. That's basically it. But it has nothing to do with how did the machinery actually perform during that election. And that's the comparison that's to be made.
See, and I think...
And so, well, let me take this one step further.
Sure.
Since the Secretary of State adamantly refused, and this was her perfect opportunity to, as you were saying, to prove to the world, to show the world that they've got this, quote, golden standard. Instead, she She refuses, even when the law tells her this is what you're supposed to do. And now we've got a court case. And, you know, frankly, she could make that case go away by just saying, okay. I mean, I'm speaking a little bit out of school here, because I'm not the attorney and I'm not the person making the complaint. But that's what the complaint's calling for. The remedy is count them by hand and give us the numbers. And
they're coming before a judge appointed by a Democrat, because there are no Republican judges in Colorado today, except maybe some on retired status. And you have just as good a chance that they'll just go, well, no, you know, if you look at the general purpose of the law rather than excessive, you know,
blah, blah, blah,
literariness, blah, 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 blah. And so she has a 70% chance of winning.
That's true. But I will also tell you that Jenna Griswold has already proven the point that she cannot show us the actual results when she had the best, most perfect opportunity to prove the point that she's insisted, which is this is working just right. Whether or not it goes to court, I'm sorry, Jenna has already given us the answer. It's not working right, and we're not going to show you how it works.
And see, this is why, this is my opinion, and Tina Peters hasn't talked to me about this, so this is, like you said, this is just my opinion, but I think, number one, this is why they're going after Tina Peters so hard, and I think this is why she's pursuing it so hard. They all try to make fun of her, they being the progressive media hacks, right, saying, well, it was only 8 points, you know, she's trying to overturn it. I don't think so. I think Tina Peters is using the position that she's in to try to shine some light on what she believes and other people believe to be problems in the system. And like you said, give them a chance. If there are no problems, well, then show us, right? What's the hassle with that, right? It shouldn't. I mean, it's taking them longer and probably causing more money from their side to fight what Tina Peters is saying the law requires you to do than to just do it. It would be done and over with by now.
But she doesn't want to, because it may come up with something. She knows it may come up with something, and therefore fight it in the courts.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, frankly, I think the word "may" is being a little too generous. It will come up with something, because there is something there, and that's why she's hiding it. But you're absolutely correct, in my opinion, too, that this is not to overturn an election as much as it is to prove that elections need to be fixed, need to be cured, need to be done properly.
They are fixed, and they need to be cured.
Yeah, that's the problem. I know. But I want to cure that fix.
Right. Let me ask you this, and I know because Tina Peters, the judge, would not allow her to go to the summit, right?
Well, he's got a good thing on this.
Talk to us a little bit about that. She's facing those charges, which are ludicrous on the face as well. And theoretically, she shouldn't be able to go in case she's a flight risk or she's a danger, something like that. And so was the reason that they wouldn't let her go?
Right. Well, yeah, that was amazing. So much so that when they announced to the summit conferees that Tina was prevented from going there, what they did, and actually Tina had this video where she spoke to us, but first she had a reading of the district attorney's argument to the judge, which is just kind of incredible, because, you know, you're right. Before you are adjudicated guilty of something, she's been charged with, and we've been through this before, that the charges against her are just ridiculous. I mean, that it's political persecution. But before you are actually tried and determined to be guilty, the only reason they can either hold you in jail or put you in a bail type situation is if you are a risk to the community, or if you are in a risk of flight risk. You know, if you're going to skip the commute, to run, basically. Right. Well, she's too public a person to, and they didn't make an argument on that. They said, we're concerned because she's going to go to this event and they're going to celebrate what she's doing. And basically, judge, you can't allow that, can you? I mean, it's absurd.
It's totally absurd. I mean, that's not a reason. Yeah. That's not a reason. It'd be like saying she can't go to her birthday party because they're going to celebrate her birthday. It's like, I mean, that's not, a, that's ridiculous. And the district attorney, isn't the district attorney a Republican, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, let's just get that out of the way.
Ostensibly.
Yeah.
It's a Kevin Perillo Republican.
Right. I mean, that's just outrageous that they would say, because she's presumed innocent, right? At this point, she's presumed innocent. And so the fact that she's going to go to this thing and they're going to celebrate what she's doing, so, you know what
I
mean?
Well, but they couldn't prevent her from going by video. So what difference does it make if she's by video or there? She's still a danger to the community. I mean,
right. Now, Chuck, let me back up just a second, because you said a Kevin and you kind of tripped over his last name. You're talking about Kevin Priola, not me.
Yeah.
Did I say you? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't say me. I just wanted to be clear. And you're aware of what Priola just did.
Oh yeah, we are.
He's a Democrat now. He's a Democrat now.
Officially, because he's like Liz Cheney. He loves her so much.
Well, because of all of us election deniers, he can't stand it. He can't stand it. Well, I mean, while we've got you, what your take on that? Why do you, Chuck, explain your theory and explain Dave Williams' theory, and then Kevin, we'll get your theory on.
Okay, my theory is the Democrats are a little worried that we could take three seats, is because Anschutz and others are pouring a lot of money into three or four races. And so they figured, okay, let's get Priola over now, which makes their task, you know, it was a large task before, and now it's almost insurmountable. And Dave Williams said he came up with the theory that the Democrats were going to win anyway, and Kevin better get over now so he could get a chairmanship or something else, that it was an indication that the Republicans couldn't take three seats, and therefore he's going to go to the Democrats. I like my theory better. But
I
just have a refinement of your theory, because, I mean, let's play it out a different way. Let's say that Priola just didn't do anything until after the November election. Now, he's not being reelected. He's in the middle of his term.
Right, as last term, too.
Yeah, so he could easily cut a deal for a chairmanship by saying, hey, guys, you know, I'll join you and you'll have that much more. I mean, they've got all of his votes except for the who's going to be leader. But I think he could have secured a chairmanship either direction. Little footnote, because I chaired several committees in the Senate, and it's no big deal. I mean, you've got a little more authority, a lot more work, and you still only have one vote when it comes down to things. But frankly, maybe I'm being a little too cynical, but maybe not. I kind of think he's trying to secure his jobs down the road after a couple of years.
Yeah, well, that was another legislature. Yes, Dave said that too.
A lobby job or something.
Not a lobby job, but you don't need to lobby.
Just a nice little position in the, in some state job that he figures he's got a better shot of getting if he's a D.
CDOT or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
back to, just because we've only got a few more minutes, but so in general, let me ask you this about, the Moment of Truth Summit, the selection code, which again, people, you can go to sign up for and subscribe to Kevin Lundberg's newsletter, because he gives you links to all of this stuff, which makes it really easy. Or as he said, it's probably up there on frankspeech.com, which is Mike Lindell's website. Now, none of this, of course, was covered by anybody in the mainstream media. And anyone else who covered it will probably be sued. We'll probably be sued. You'll be sued. We'll be sued. But your take on, do you think, I mean, my sense is, I don't think most people, the Democrats try to keep saying denier, denier, denier. I don't think most people have a clue as to how many issues there really, really are.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, I break the people of this nation down into three groups on this subject. One is those of us who have looked into it and discovered there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and we need to fix this because it's broken, and it's dangerously broken. It's not just, someday we need it. No, if the republic is to survive as a republic, a republic, with a Republican form of government, which doesn't mean the Republicans are in charge, it means that our representatives are duly elected by we the people, then we've got to cure this. We've got to get past this and And we've got to reestablish not only its accuracy, but our confidence in its accuracy. You know, and so even if it is working perfectly well, they need to prove it so that we know it. But,
right.
You know, the, where was I going with all of that?
You had one third.
Of the people in the country, one third knows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't break it into thirds. I would just say there are three groups. So there are those of us who know about it. And then there are those who are somehow complicit in the whole process, and they're not about to admit what they're doing, but they're out there. But most of the people are, as you say, they just don't have a clue yet. And
right.
One sense I got from the summit, and of course I was with all of the, you might say, the true believers in all of this, those who really have dug deep and have figured out more and more stuff, a lot of very smart people who, you know, would smell a rat if this
right.
really wasn't a true and accurate issue. But the people who haven't looked into it are the ones who have not considered it to be a big issue, because the more you look, the more you know, and the more you're convinced of it. And the sense I got there at that meeting was, we're winning. It's slow. It's ponderous. But it's inevitable, because first off, because we are committed to see this through.
Right.
You know, this has not been easy. We've been slogging through this for a couple of years, and some of us, like myself, I've been slogging through this stuff for over 20 years. It's just that there weren't too many with me back then. But more and more people are figuring it out. And even if you look at the general polls of the nation, you discover right. that about half of the country knows something's not right.
Yes. Right.
Most of them
yes.
haven't dug deep enough to really grasp the, you know, the severity of it or the significance. But it's happening piece by piece, and I'm very grateful that one guy figured it out pretty fast and intensely in 2020, and his name is Donald Trump. And he's not letting go of it, and I have a great deal of confidence that he's going to, you know, be a very strong influence in getting to the bottom. Oh, and let me add this final thing. This is one thing they did at the summit, is they had state-by-state reports. Now, it was a very long and tedious process to go through all 50 states.
Wow.
Yeah, and now they've broken it in, so when you go online, you can just listen to individual state reports. And they're like 5-10 minutes long each. But when you listen to those, you discover that some of the states have really been making some good progress in curing the problem. Not entirely, but they're getting the right idea, and they're moving the right direction, and there have been a lot of bills that have been put forward, and several have been accepted, and there are some people who are standing for a good chance of being elected who really understand these issues. And as we move forward, I expect it will become more and more evident that we have a problem. I'm not going to say I know, therefore, we're going to win. No, I don't know that. But I know we've got a real good shot of it, because I know we're dealing with facts. We're not dealing with fables or speculation. We're looking at, look at what happened here and here and here. And so I'm going to wrap this back up to where I started, and you had already said that I'd If you don't have time for anything else, set aside some time to watch Selection Code, because it will give you both an up-close personal picture of what they've done with Tina Peters and why she became such a champion for this, and it'll give you a good overview of what's happening across the nation.
All right. Kevin, great. Thanks so much for being with us. Great to talk to you, and thanks for the information. Keep up the good fight.
Well, thank you. It's my privilege to join you for a while, and now I've got about 400 miles in front of me.
All right. Drive safe, sir. I appreciate your time. Hey, and you guys, we had a lot of great comments here in the chat section. I'm sorry we didn't get to read them to everybody, but a lot of great comments. I appreciate when everybody does that. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Once again, you can get all of the shows always at chuckandjulie.com, links to whatever format you want to listen to it on. Thank you to Kevin, the great guys at BBS.
And we'll be back on Wednesday, same time, and we should have another great show for you.
All right. See you then.